Welcome to Your Path to FI. Master your money, unlock more time, and gain the freedom to live your life on your terms. We'll be talking to amazing people from the FI community to inspire, educate, and help you on your financial independence journey.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. We've got Logan here. We've also got my co-host, Matt, and we've got our guest, which is Anna, who's 29, but shortly turning 30. We just discovered in 2 weeks, living in London and has got a really, really unique and exciting FI journey, which we're super excited to dig into on this episode. But I'll hand over to Anna to give a bit of an intro and tell us a little bit more about who she is.
Hello. Well, firstly, thank you for having me. As you said, I'm almost 30, not depressing at all. And I'm on my financial independence journey. I work as an accountant and I run a YouTube channel about personal finance and investing. So that's what I'm sort of doing to help me on my financial journey. And I'm building a house in Poland, which I think a lot of people who watch my channel seem to be really interested in, which I never thought people would be interested in that, but they are. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Hi, Anna, great to meet you. It sounds like you've had quite an interesting journey, and we had a quick chat before this, and there's a few things that I'm really intrigued to hear more about. And the first one would be, what made you discover FIRE? Or financial independence, and what made you decide to make a start on that journey?
It's really a bit of a weird one because I think it wasn't as natural, I guess, as some people find it. And it was essentially, I went through a really tough time a few years ago and I ended up getting into quite a bit of a depression, going through a really tough time. And I ended up being signed off work for a good chunk of time. And I went to Poland to be with my family because pretty much my whole family at that point were back in Poland. And having this chilled time with no work, being around my family, it really made me realize that that was really important to me and that maybe this whole stressful rat race life that I had in London, where I had a mortgage and loans and constantly going out and, you know, the standard sort of London typical life, maybe I was done with it. And as I was sort of on YouTube and places like that during my time off, I learned about financial independence and I was fascinated by it. And I'd always wanted to invest. It was always something that was in the back of my mind that I wanted to get started with at some point, just never had the time. But I think realizing that I could have this freedom to not have to work in jobs that I hated and be stressed all the time, which obviously is bad for health as well, and have choice in my life, really sort of powered that up. And I ended up sort of going on this journey into investing and then teaching others through the YouTube channel.
Amazing. Great to hear. I think it's something definitely to delve into is, I guess, kind of before you discovered FI, you're going through that kind of hardship you're talking about, and then you stumbled across FI, which a lot of us do. And then what I'm quite keen to hear a bit more about is, I guess, how that changed kind of where you were in life and kind of how you felt and then how you went about life post discovering FI.
Yeah, so I think it just changed my mindset of there is a different way that I could be living. Like, I don't have to go down this normal 9 to 5 until I'm, you know, at my age, probably 90 by the time I can retire. And it almost gave me hope and it got me into this drive, I guess, to go get like side hustles and other ways of making money, to pay off my debts, to start investing. And it just gave me focus and hope. And it made me prioritize things like spending time with family and things like that, which I guess up until then I never did. It was just something that I took for granted. And I didn't do enough of it because it was always very much sort of like work and going out for drinks and standard sort of 20-something year old living in London life. So yeah.
Yeah, it's so important that we get a balance between bringing in enough money, but also keeping ourselves happy and focusing on the things that really matter in life, which is connections and family and pursuits that you enjoy as well. Sounds like you've made a real switch to try and get a balance between those two. And I'm curious to know more about the actual things that the sources that you discovered, perhaps on YouTube and other books and things. Which ones were the ones that you felt influenced you the most?
I think it was YouTube mostly for me. It was the thing that I found first. So before I did things like order books and things like that, I spent a lot of time on YouTube. So I think in terms of what influenced me and helped me most, it was YouTube. And I think it helped me that I'm a chartered accountant. So I'd already spent many years in finance and learning financial jargon and, you know, things like that. So I found it easier, I guess, to understand certain content without having to necessarily delve into books. And it made it easier, which I think quite a few people struggle with, is that they can't tell apart what's almost like this clickbait and just trying to hype you up and get you investing into things that may not necessarily be the right things to do. Separating that from real content where people are just trying to give you, you know, advice is the wrong word because you're not really meant to give financial advice, but almost guidance into helping you just realize that you should be investing and maybe not taking huge risks, but not shying away from the fact that you still need to take some risks in order to sort of grow your investments, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
It does make sense. And in fact, it's a good point that you've raised there. And I find myself being quite traditional in terms of having read books and listened to podcasts where it feels like more of a safe zone because you can trust certain authors or podcast channels. I've never really delved into the world of YouTube aside from the authors and the podcast hosts that have launched their YouTube channel. So have you got any advice you could give to people that are just navigating through YouTube, hoping to avoid the clickbait, but find the gems? Is there any tips you can give people?
Yeah, I think the biggest one would be if anyone is saying to you, I think you should invest in this stock because it's going to go up so much, probably want to avoid that. I think you need a balanced view. There are channels that do analysis of stocks and may voice their opinion of like, this is the analysis, these bits point to the stock going up. I think it might, so I'm going to invest in it. But do your own research. When people do that, you can be like, okay, they think that they're allowed to have their own opinion, but they're still telling me to do my own research. And I think for me, it was those types of channels that always I found weren't the clickbait channels that I could trust a bit more. And that's kind of how I've tried to make my channel. You know, I try not to be like, oh my God, you guys, you need to invest in this stock. You're just going to be so rich. I try to stay away from things like crypto and this is the next big crypto and things like that. I think there was one video that I made once that was sort of like, okay, I think this crypto project could be really good. This is why, but make sure you do your own research sort of thing. But generally, because it's a beginner's audience that I target, I'm always in the back of my mind conscious that you have so much influence as a YouTuber that you need to be really careful what you say. And yeah, the second you see titles that are like, this is going to the moon and is this coin going to 100x, all this kind of stuff, I would just sort of stay away. So I think it's just that old gem of if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. I think just keeping that in the back of your mind and forming your own opinions rather than just blindly following advice is the best advice I could give.
So I'm just going to rewind slightly, Anna. So you took some time off, you discovered FI, you found a great source of content, which is YouTube, where you kind of built up your own FI knowledge. And it sounds like there's an inkling of you set up a little side hustle in YouTube as well. But just to go back to discovered FI, we're taking time off. I assume you then went back into work. And just if you could just talk a little bit about kind of what that looked like, kind of going back into, I guess, normal life, but with FI behind you and everything which happened in the wake of that.
I think I can safely call it a bit supercharged. I just went back with like this drive of I'm going to do this and I can do this. And I think I'm a little bit of a person that if I get it in my head that I'm going to do something and achieve it, I will. And someone actually said this the other day because someone was questioning that I would achieve something. And this other person was like, haven't you learned by now that when she sets her mind to something, she does it? So it was very much this like focus of I'm going to achieve this. And I straight away started searching for part-time jobs. I managed to get one fairly quickly in like an events venue. So they had a lot of part-time staff and it was a 0 hours contract. So it was great because obviously I had a full-time job. And I couldn't necessarily commit to, okay, I'm going to work every weekend because I didn't know how I would feel. Would I be able to do that? Would it be too much? So 0 hours was perfect. And it was really near to where I lived. So I could literally walk there and back, which was amazing. So I did that. And then as I was there, I was selling things as well. So things like I had an old GoPro that I hadn't used for many, many years. And, you know, anything that I could find that I could sell, I was selling eBay and all sorts, Gumtree, things like that. And then I was talking to people at the events venue. When we were working, there were a lot of students. And a lot of people found it really interesting what I was saying. They were finding it very helpful. They were just amazed by it. And I just got this idea in my head of like, maybe if this is helpful to them, it will be helpful to other people. So I had this idea of the YouTube channel. So I set it up and made a few videos here or there, but I didn't really sort of put my heart into it until pandemic hit and there was not much else to do but sit at home. And so I started making more videos. So I started making videos regularly. And I think I got very lucky because I think at that point, a lot of people were searching for financial help. So a lot of people found my channel very quickly. And the rest is history, as they say.
Yeah, it sounds like it's really quite a good option to keep in the back pocket to generate some alternative or another source of income. And it does seem like YouTube nowadays is a great way to do that and to leverage the skills that you've gained along the way and the knowledge that you've gained and to then share that back to the community is such a good idea. So I'm just thinking now in terms of the journey that you described and wondering how far you are on that journey. I think you said it was 2019 that all of this began. Have you got some kind of measure on how far you are down the line and yeah, perhaps what you have in mind for when you finished as well?
Yeah, so overall, about 60% of the way there. But that includes the fact I'm building a house, which will mean I can live rent and mortgage free, which will be amazing. I've spent a few years owning a flat in London, which was, it was great, but it was also really, really stressful because as a leaseholder, you have so many things to pay for. You have service charges. You have all sorts that you just have no control over. And I was like, I don't want that at all. I just want my own house that I don't have to worry about someone going, yeah, we just fancied like changing all the windows. So here's a £2,000 bill, you know, things like that. So that includes that. And then in terms of investing, I'm about 20% in terms of pure investments where I want to be with that. In terms of my life after, I used to think that I wouldn't work at all. This is what I used to have in my head. But I've come to realize that I think I would be really bored and I want to work, but I want to work part-time and choose where I work. So that's all my ideal situation. I want to have this work part-time and have it be enough. So I want my sources of income to be both my investments and passive income. So initially, I think focusing more on the passive income, because I'm probably not going to do YouTube forever. And eventually, if I stop making videos, it will wear off. It'll go on for a while because it will take time to wear off that 4,000 hours because I get quite a few at the moment, even when I'm not making videos, but it will end eventually. So I think initially focus on the passive income. And then as that sort of tapers off, once I stop being sort of active on social media, then start drawing down on investments. So almost sort of start with nothing and just focus on passive income, slowly sort of having the balance going like this.
Yeah, that's a great blend of partial FI, bit of working into the point where you become truly financially independent. I really like that. I think it's important for us to not get too focused on that finish line and assuming we're going to be happy to do nothing, because I think doing nothing for several decades is something that most people can't handle. So having those options to keep the income rolling in and slowly dial it down and switch it off if you ever want to. So it's a really good strategy.
And I think from what I gauge from having spoken to Anna, I think you've got such a crystal clear idea of what your kind of FI life is going to look like. And there was the brief reference of building a house, which I definitely want to delve into that and also where your FI life is going to be. So it'd be cool to understand this house which was being built. I have seen a picture of it. It's looking pretty cool. The foundations are in place. And then also the second question, which would be great to hear a bit about, is, you know, I love this idea of having this kind of passive income and working a part-time job, because I completely agree with you. This kind of perception of reaching FI and kind of sitting on a beach somewhere and drinking pina coladas is just so far from what it's all about. And what I'm interested to hear more about is just how that impacts your kind of calculations, because like you said a minute ago, you're not going to be drawing down as heavily on your investments because you plan to have this passive income either from a part-time job or your YouTube. So how does that kind of impact when you think you can reach FI?
So yeah, with regards to the house, it's being built in Poland. So in a way, I'm sort of earning at the moment in pounds and spending it on a house in Poland, which is obviously helping slightly because of the exchange rates. I think it upsets some people on YouTube. Most people are quite nice, but I do get some comments of like, you're earning in this country and then you're spending it in another country and it's really bad, you know, typical immigrant type comments. But, you know, it's what I'm doing. And because of that, my money can go a lot further. So, you know, my flat in London, 50 meters squared, it was £360,000, right? And then you've forever got leaseholder charges and things like that. This house I'm building, it's almost double the size. And it's going to cost me about £100,000 in total. And that includes like doing up inside and everything. So bit of a price change. So that helps. And then my life after is obviously going to be in Poland, spending more time with family because that's where they all are. That's initially where the whole idea came from. It wasn't initially about actually this is going to be good for my wallet. That just almost was a bonus. It was actually, I want to be near family again. This is good for me. And then as I was thinking through this plan, I was like, you know what? If I'm still earning in pounds, why don't I build a house and things like that? And it all sort of stemmed from there. So spending time with family and working part-time, maybe working somewhere a bit less stressful. I work in finance. It's quite mentally draining. So I always had in my head this vision of like working in a cafe or something where you can chat to people because I'm very chatty. You can chat, but also not take your work home with you. That's kind of what I'm aiming for, because for me, I really stress and overthink things. And, you know, if something's going on at work, I'm constantly not able to switch off and I'm like, oh, I have to do this tomorrow. And oh no, did I remember to do this? And oh, this really stressful meeting's coming up tomorrow and I can't switch off. So that's my plan. And then seeing how the YouTube goes, it's very fickle. People seem to think it's this like insane gold mine, but it goes up and down a lot. You know, I've had months last year where I made like over £10,000 in 1 month. And then recently I have far more subscribers than I did back then. And I've made like less than 2,000. So it is extremely unpredictable. And, you know, they could switch off YouTube tomorrow. You could get hacked. Anything could happen. So I'm trying not to rely on that in terms of financial independence.
And I'll follow back around with the second question now, which is just with the kind of part-time work and that potential passive income stream, but it sounds like you're not putting a huge amount of emphasis on it, kind of, or relying on it, maybe I should say. But how do you work out kind of when you can be FI, when you're not going to be drawing down so hard on your investments because you're going to have this part-time work? I mean, how do you think about that?
Honestly, I'm not really focusing on when. So when I first started, I was very much like, I'm going to calculate because then I can count down and have this like countdown on my phone, which I have a lot of countdowns on there. But as I've gone through the journey, I've realized that I can't just solely focus on that because I was really not living life. I was initially very much that typical sort of, I'm going to do nothing but focus on my goal. And it was fine for a while. But then I realized, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy the journey because I've had a few health scares along the way. And it made me realize, okay, literally, if any of these health scares had materialized, how would I feel? Like, I've just spent the last couple of years doing nothing but focusing on this goal. And it made me reevaluate things a little and go, you know what? I have this goal and I'm achieving it because I'm building my house. It's standing up in front of me. I can see the walls, you know, getting done now. And I've managed to achieve this. So even if I stopped now, I would still have an amazing achievement where I've managed to have a place to live with no mortgage, no rent or nothing. So I could get by. I could almost have this like life of a less stressful job and a place to live without much on top of that. I wouldn't be able to go on extravagant holidays and stuff, but I'd have this basic life that I want. Yes, I'd have to work, but I could do a less stressful job. So in a way, I've achieved my goal of having this option to have a less stressful job. And now I'm happy and I'm just like, okay, now the focus will be investing money. And when I can live off of my investments, I will. But until then, I'm just going to do that on the side continuously until I get there.
It just reminds me of the importance of making sure that you're focusing on the right things. And it sounds like you're getting a good balance of that between looking at what matters to you in terms of lifestyle and less stress, but also making sure the money's working hard for yourself. And I think I might have mentioned this in a previous episode before, but it just reminds me of the book Die with Zero, which is a very good read in terms of helping you not just to stare at the numbers and just focusing on reaching that financial independence date, but also remembering your current self and what your health needs are and what your lifestyle needs are and your family and your friends as well. And keeping a balance there. So yeah, it's good to hear you.
I've heard that book is good, but I've not read it myself, but I've heard so much about it.
Yeah, it's excellent. In fact, I think the title seems quite somber and gloomy, but it's not like that at all. I found it was very inspiring.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering about your highlights along your journey towards FI. What stands out to you as the big moments, the exciting, and perhaps maybe some of the more challenging points on your journey?
I think the biggest sort of amazing highlight for me was just becoming debt-free. That was great because pretty much since I started having a job, I got in debt straight away because I was like, I have a job now. I can take out a loan. This is great. So actually seeing that go down to zero was incredible. And passing the milestone of having £20,000 invested, that was amazing. And then seeing the dig a hole for my foundations for my house. I think those are like my top three biggest highlights. In terms of challenges, I think the only thing I've struggled with is keeping my sort of head cool when the markets go like really volatile and when I've made bad decisions. So I have made some bad decisions along the way. I was very well aware of the risk. So it's, you know, I've not sort of blindly gone into stuff expecting to become a millionaire and then suddenly everything goes wrong. I've always been like, you know what? This is very high risk and I'm okay with losing everything I'm putting in this, but it was still really challenging. So as an example, I generally try to stay away from crypto with the exception of like Bitcoin and Ethereum. I dabble in the small coins, but it's like small money. But there was one thing that I invested in and it was like, it was either £2,000 or £2,500 that I put into it because that was almost like the minimum that you had to put into this project. And it took a week and lost everything. And I was just like, you know, I was prepared for it, like I said, mentally, because I was like, this is very high risk, high reward. But despite that, it was really, really, really hard. So I think going through little moments like that of like, oh, I invested in this high risk thing and it went wrong. I've yet to have a very high risk thing actually pay off. So I'm now like edging more towards the safer investments. And things like right now, for example, we've got such a downturn where certain things that I'd invested in back in 2020 now are down. Whereas previously they've withheld any volatility because it enough time had passed. Now they've gone down and like, I know in my head, I don't need to worry, it's going to be fine. But I think that is quite challenging. And I think a lot of people find that challenging. But yeah, that's been quite challenging for me.
So interesting to hear the sort of ups and downs. And thanks for being open with us about the tough experience you went through with losing 2,000. It's good for us to reflect on these things. And it also makes me recall some of the times where I've found it very challenging with market volatility. And I'm wondering if you've got any tips that you could share with our community with how to navigate those challenging times when you can just see the markets, you know, going up and down or declining really rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I've always said to people, don't panic. But even I have been recently a little bit wobbled by everything. But I think the most important thing is, if you look through the past, there have been market crashes. And it's not about panicking. It's always returned. And yes, you know, you've got the generic sort of disclaimer that you see everywhere of past performance is not an indicator of future performance. But, you know, if the whole stock market fails, we're going to have bigger problems, right? So keeping that in mind, keeping cool and not selling out of panic. If you have to sell and if you decide to sell, that's fine. You know, they're your investments. And if you stop feeling comfortable with it, that's totally your prerogative. But I think a lot of people panic sell and then regret it. So I think really trying to keep a cool head, maybe whilst the market is in a good state or when you're making a decision to invest, write down a list of why you're doing this. And, you know, am I going to keep through once everything crashes? That's my first point. And the second point would be just don't check. So I found that extremely hard at the beginning. I was almost daily checking my investments. But now I can go like 2-3 weeks without logging in once to check because I know that it's just going to tick on in the background. And I invest with a long-term focus. And I see this a lot with people who say the same. They say, I'm a long-term investor. And then the second the markets start going downwards, they start selling. I'm like, no, you have to dollar cost average. You're missing the point of long-term investing. So yeah, I think those are my two main bits.
What an awesome journey and what an incredible story, Anna. So thanks so much for sharing. I think, you know, for me, I just love that huge inflection point, kind of discovering FI had in your life and then all the kind of positive externalities just came from it and just finding this kind of drive to want to help others with their FI journey, which led you into the side hustle. And now the really exciting plans of building this house in Poland, which sounds amazing. So thanks so much for sharing. And I think one question I always like to ask towards the end is, if there's someone listening to this episode who's right at the start of their journey or who's maybe on the fence about FI, what one piece of advice would you give to that person?
Someone who's on the fence and someone who's starting out. Can I separate that into two?
Go for it.
So someone who's just starting out, I would say you need to have nerves of steel. So just be prepared for that. I think mentally prepare to not panic, sort of what I was just saying before. Be mentally prepared to go through ups and downs and not panic. And then someone who is on the fence, I would say, I hear a lot of people say things like, well, I can never achieve financial independence, so what's the point? And things like that. And my answer to that tends to be similar to what I'm going to say this advice should be. Even if you can't achieve full financial independence, because I know that a lot of people say everyone can, but I do think there are certain situations where maybe someone will not be able to achieve full financial independence, you know, depending on their age, their income, what situation they're in, if they have children, etc. But everyone, in my opinion, can achieve partial financial independence or slightly early retirement, right? So if someone came to you and gave you the option of you can retire 5 years earlier than state pension age, would you say no? Maybe that's something that can fuel you. So think about your why. Think about, would you be happy with retiring a few years early or maybe with going part-time? Because all of those things still give us back some time freedom. It doesn't have to be all or nothing. It's not, I'm either going to go full all in, achieve financial independence and never have to work again. Great. If you're in your 20s, you can probably achieve that. And if you're in your 50s and you earn a hell of a lot of money, yeah, you can probably achieve that. But sometimes it's not just about that. It's just about getting an extra day a week to spend with your family or a few extra years to enjoy retirement. So yeah, those are my two pieces of advice.
Great advice, Anna. Thank you. I think that's good for us to keep in mind because we quite often have the misbelievers, the people out there that say FI is impossible. Well, they've got some other things to think about. Yeah, there's partial FI and doing things more on your own terms. So thanks so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure to hear about your journey. Just one last question. How can people find you? You mentioned you've got the YouTube channel. So do you want to just give us a tip?
Yeah, of course. So if you go into YouTube, if you type in Panda Boss Finance, you'll find me like that. It should come up as the first channel.
Great. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun. I can't believe where time's flown.
Thanks for listening to Your Path to FI. If you have any questions, reach out to us. You may send us an email to podcast@topia-app.com or via our podcast community. Please see the link in the show notes. None of the content on this podcast should be construed as financial advice. That's all from us for now. Catch you next time on your path to financial independence.